I want to kick us off with the review of the week. Today, the review is from Anderson. ! 61212. Hey, girl. It says, every mama needs this. I'm a new listener and I'm now going back listening to past episodes. I absolutely love it. Nina is hilarious and so real. Every mama needs this in her life. Highly recommend. Thank you so much. I love you. I'm so glad you're here and I cannot wait to hear about all the episodes you've binged. You know what I found out on this episode today is that there are multiple reasons that people might be procrastinating. And yeah, I figured there was a couple, right? But there's like six or so. I'm excited for you to learn about them because I think I have definitely several of them depending on the situation or the task that I'm procrastinating. Today's episode is going to be about time management, procrastination, multitasking, time blocking. So if you're somebody that feels like you have so much to do in a day, but you're just not getting it done, you feel overwhelmed, you don't have time for yourself, this is for you. Let's dive in. Hi, Chelsea. I'm so excited to have you on to talk about procrastination. Actually, Chelsea and I just had a, it's like a 10-minute conversation off record about just her and her life. And I was like, girl, I could procrastinate all day long. Like, we can talk about anything but what we came for. So before we dive into this episode, Chelsea, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. Yes. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And so my name is Chelsea Niemeyer. I'm a time management and productivity coach. I work mostly with solopreneurs, but also women who are working 9 to 5 and kind of just hustling, because we all have so much going on, and I help you feel less overwhelmed and more in control of your time. This business was really inspired by reading some really terrible productivity advice out there that was super strict and didn't match my life and wanted me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get everything done. And I'm not a morning person, and that wasn't going to work for me. And so I wanted to help people find ways to really personalize their productivity. And I just had a baby in December. He's 4 months old now. And we were just talking about the fact that I live in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, because my husband's in the Navy. So it's just, those are my random fun facts about me.
I love it. I love it. It's so cool. So we're going to talk about productivity, procrastination, and all that. And I talk about this often with my listeners and my followers on social media. Is I have ADHD, and it has taken me a lot of work and effort and mindfulness to organize my life. And I'm still living in, I feel like, a little bit of a chaos, but it's definitely better. I'm curious, you said you read some bad advice on productivity. I'm curious to hear if you have any like statistics or any like fun facts for us. Like, are women, who's more of a procrastinator? Like, women or men? Why are people procrastinators? Just kind of like a little bit of a background on why people are this way and what made them that way.
Sure. So I always want to start the conversation about procrastination with, it's not the same as being lazy. Mm-hmm. Being lazy means like you know what you have to do, but you just don't want to do it. You don't care to do it, and you're not concerned about the results of not doing it. Mm-hmm. Procrastination means that you know what that end goal is. You want to accomplish the task, but there's some kind of friction along the way. And that's what I help people work through, right? It's like, what's that friction that's making it harder for you to get that task done, even though you know that there's going to be consequences, good and bad, to getting that task done. So that's the real big difference, is that I help people to understand that you're not just lazy, right? Like, or making procrastination an identity makes it much harder to get over. I'd say, I'm not a procrastinator. You're procrastinating. And there's probably a reason for it. And so that's what we can talk about. I don't have any like specific statistics off the top of my head, per se. But when it comes down to why people procrastinate, there tends to be some pretty reoccurring reasons that we can find. And I'm happy to like dive into all those, mm-hmm. those reasons. And it's going to be different for every person. And it's going to be different based on the task that you're procrastinating. And probably it's going to be a little different depending on the day, right? We all have those days where we're like in the zone and can crush through a bunch of things. And we have other days where we have been in 15 different rooms of our house and walk into every room and forget what we were doing, or, you know, like start reorganizing an entire closet instead of, you know, writing that Instagram post that you have to do. So I think that there's a lot of, is that we can dig into a lot of different pieces of it, but I don't have any stats off the top of my head.
No, that's okay.
I think it affects everybody, frankly.
Yeah. And I just like, as someone, I do procrastinate. I have to admit, I have gotten better. Like I was looking at some of your posts, and I have an assistant now, and she will literally like lay out my days for me. But if I didn't have her do that for me, I probably would just like wake up that day and scramble to figure out like what's going to happen today. And then the biggest thing I find myself procrastinating on is like the simple tasks that feel daunting, like making appointments, following up on things, calling people cringe. And then like things that don't have a hard deadline, but I know need to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. So why is that? Because I'm, like you said, I'm not lazy. Like I'm always doing something.
Yeah.
But I seem to always push everything to its limit. Why am I doing that?
So, okay. I'm going to run through really quickly the 6 reasons that I talk about why people procrastinate, right? Mm-hmm. The first one is, and you mentioned some of these already, like great examples. Some of them have an abstract goal, right? So if you're not exactly sure what the outcome of that task is going to be. So I always use the example of like starting a podcast, right? If you're not exactly sure what you want that to look like or what you want it to be called, it can feel very daunting to even get started. So we're just going to keep kicking that down the road. It's going to keep falling to the bottom of our to-do list. Indecisiveness is one, often manifests as researching. Like, oh, I'm just going to research all the best, you know, microphones I can use. Like, just buy a microphone, right? Like, you got to start somewhere, just buy the microphone. The other one is fear of failure. If you're showing up online a lot, if you're showing up even in a boardroom or even in an office, right? That fear of embarrassment or repercussions, that someone's going to say something or we're not going to be good at it, can really slow us down. And the one that you mentioned, waiting for a deadline. So this is super common, and I don't always think it's bad. So I used to tutor high school students, and everybody has a different threshold for, I know the deadline's coming, I feel pressure on the deadline, from the deadline. High school boys, like teenage boys, have the highest threshold ever, right? Like they will wait until minutes before that assignment is done to feel the pressure to get it done. Sometimes that's an advantage. We can use that pressure of a deadline to help us focus, to help us feel, be able to tune out the rest of the world. So I don't always think waiting for a deadline is a bad thing, but we just have to be prepared for when something goes awry, right? You're waiting for the deadline, but then you get sick. You're waiting for the deadline, but then your internet goes out, right? And so we have to kind of buffer those. The other one that you mentioned was task aversion. You just don't like doing it. You don't like making phone calls. You don't like scheduling out your day, right? So that's a very common reason we see people procrastinate. And then the last one I talk about a lot is perfectionism. And this is that wanting or waiting for things to be perfect. And that could be really hard with the kind of constant tweaking. That's where we're going back and forth to doing that constant tweaking. Mm. So once we can identify what is causing that buffer, right? Like that's using making phone calls as an example. I just don't like it. Now, why don't you like it? Probably because you have to like, someone's going to answer. They might not answer. You might have to call them back. It's just going to take longer than you thought. Like you might be awkward about it. You don't know what they're going to say. So you just don't like to do it. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about how to kind of start overcoming these pieces of friction, that's where we can get into finding a reward for yourself, right? What's a way that you can make it really fun? Can you, you know, have a Hershey kiss for every call that you make, right? And give yourself a little bit of a treat at the end of it. Like I said, can you,
I'm the type that's like, well, I can have a Hershey kiss whenever I want. So I'm just going to eat it. You know, like the rewards I feel like don't work for me because I feel like I just will reward myself whenever I want. Like it just doesn't work for me. I wish rewards worked for me.
Yeah. Well, that's why, it's not going to work for everybody. You could, you know, I really like suggesting or doing like power hours, right? So we list as many of those like annoying tasks that you have to do as possible and just challenge yourself to blast through as many as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Right. And so these are like those little tasks that just tend to like fill up our to-do list or clutter our minds. If you say, all right, I got an hour, I'm just going to do through as many as I possibly can. And then you're done. Right. So you can structure it that way. Giving yourself a really clear starting point. Like if I have to make a phone call, I may actually look up the phone number a day or two before and then write the phone number on the to-do list. So that just removes the step I have to do. Now I'm not going to go online, start looking for the phone number, click into something else and end up on 17 different places, right? I have the number handy. So as much as you can streamline or make that task as easy and as, like I said, simple as possible, it's just going to help get you over that hurdle.
Yeah. And you mentioned the six reasons that people procrastinate. And I feel like I have a lot of those, but for different tasks.
Yep.
Like showing up online when you said, so I'm a influencer, social media creator, and there's so much content that I'm like passionate about and I want to put out. But the reason I don't put it out is because people keep asking for it. The reason I don't put it out is because I'm like, it's not good enough. It's going to fail. Like it's, what's the point? So I have those thoughts too, but how do you overcome that? Like the fear of failure / perfectionism. I feel like they kind of like,
yeah, I always say like they're cousins, right? Like they're really closely connected. For that one, those are definitely the hardest, right? Cause that takes some internal work. And fortunately my suggestions are like a little woo, right? Like it's really about focusing on the bigger picture, that bigger goal, right? You just mentioned that people are asking for it. This is a need that you're filling, a service you're providing, you're helping people with it. So as much as we can think about the bigger goal and identifying that why and visualizing the end result, that can sometimes be that motivation we need to get it started or get it going. And the other piece is, as I'm sure you have a lot of experience with, it's just, I don't know, like that. I always joke that if you have a hater, that means you've kind of made it, right? Like people aren't paying attention nearly to your stuff nearly as much as you are. Mm-hmm. And so they're just going to be excited to see it more than they're going to be critiquing it. We're often the first people to call out our own mistakes. And so you can either own it or just kind of ignore it along the way. Again, much easier said than done, but that's where that mindset piece comes in, where we're constantly kind of working through each time we have to face that, each time we're brave and show up and do the thing and then kind of evaluate how it worked out afterwards. You start building up that muscle.
Yeah. So kind of just be able to give yourself grace and show
lots
up.
Of grace.
And yeah. Ugh, that's definitely a hard one. Okay. My next question is more so about feeling overwhelmed in one day. So I work from home and I feel like I have so much to do at all times. And that's like everything is kind of jumbled in my mind. I have work and then I have like the tasks that I need to have done with deadlines. And then I have stuff that doesn't really have deadlines that I should be working on. Then I have the house, like the house is messy, yeah, like chores. And then I have hobbies and like things that I want to be doing that are enjoyable to me. Like I'm looking right now, I'm looking at two bins that I bought a year ago, maybe longer, that I wanted to make like little memory bins for my kids. My kids are 5 and 3. So that says a lot. But so I feel like I don't have enough time in the day to finish the tasks that need to be completed, let alone do anything enjoyable. So what are your tips on like for someone like me who works at from home and even for someone who's like a 9 to 5 and then gets home and only has like 5:30 to 7:30 with their kids,
sure,
and then, you know, what is your recommendation? Kind of, I mean, it might be different for the people. For the two different people, right? For someone like me who works from home, how do I organize my day better so I don't feel so overbooked?
Yeah, love this question because this is kind of the core of what I love to talk about. My first suggestion is we're gonna make it personal, right? So everything that I share, you're gonna find ways to make it work best for you. But every week, I recommend all the clients, everybody I work with, to just do a big brain dump. Get that stuff out of your head because when it's floating around, when it's pulling us away, that's when distractions happen. That's when we start to feel really overwhelmed. That's when we forget kind of what is the priority that's most important that we get done.
So like, do you put everything on that brain dump? Like personal, hobby, everything? Yes.
Everything. Nobody can order, put random goals you have on there, put a Christmas present idea you have for your kid, even though it's April. Get it all down there. Everything that's kind of taking up space in your brain. Then we can start organizing, right? Then I want you to review that list. I do this once a week. Don't let this become something that you do multiple times throughout the week, because then it just becomes like another way we procrastinate. It's like procrastinate planning. It's my favorite way to procrastinate.
Is this something that you recommend I do myself for my own stuff, or like with my partner? Because a lot of things we like to be on the same page about that we need to be doing together. Or does he need to do his own? I need to do my own, and then we come together. Like, how would you recommend that?
I think if you have ideas of things that you would like him to do, or we're getting ready for a big move, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to do a big brain dump of all of the tasks that need to get done for us through this move process. And some of them are definitely going to be my husband's responsibilities. And so we'll come together and do that. But I would recommend each person do it individually. Mm-hmm. Like if the thought comes up like, oh, the car needs an oil change and that's your husband's responsibility, but you want to remind him, I would add that to your list again, just to get it out of your head. Okay. The goal is really just kind of make sure that everything is written down so that you feel confident and comfortable that it's captured somewhere, that these important things aren't going to be lost in the abyss. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea to come together with your partner then and start identifying what is the most important things that have to get done this week. You know, take a couple color, like a highlighter to it. You don't have to reorganize it. You don't have to like make it nice. Just highlight a few things that are really important to get done that week, together, individual, right? Like kind of set up your week like that. And then from there, you can make your daily to-do list. So the brain dump just becomes this kind of reference sheet. What's really interesting is after you do this for a couple weeks or a couple of months, you'll start to realize that some things just kind of naturally fall off the list. Things that we thought were really important, things that, you know, a great idea that we had, it's just not the right time for it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to feel bad about that. You know, it's just, I haven't done anything for my son's baby book and he's 4 months old. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that's been pulled over, right? So, but other things are more pressing, other things that need to get done. We just have to trust that those things will be there and be available when we have time and capacity to handle them. So that brain dump list is the best place to start. But I want to emphasize that's not your to-do list, because it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to feel like, holy smokes, I filled up 2 pieces of loose leaf paper with all the stuff I have going on. From there, we can start cultivating what does our actual day-to-day life look like. And that's where we're really looking at, you know, 5 to 7 to-dos that are super actionable. So the to-do item is never start the podcast. The to-do item is, you know, decide on name or create cover art. Like it's super actionable stuff that you know exactly when it begins and when it ends and when the task is complete.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. So between 5 and 7 is what you're saying?
Yeah, your to-do list should be like max 7. That's actually kind of a lot.
Oh, I'm nice. Sorry. I'm thinking 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. I'm like, what?
No. 5 to 7 items.
Okay. So your to-do list for the day or for the week? For the day.
The day.
Should be 5 to 7 things. Oh my God. Like that includes everything?
Yeah.
Like work, chores, and hobby.
So the way that, especially if you work from home, sometimes I like to structure it with like, here are my work tasks, here are my home tasks.
Yeah.
What I can often see and what I don't suggest is like, sometimes we can go back and forth, right? Especially when you work from home, a meeting ends early, you go throw in a load of laundry. Like that I think is a really great benefit of working from home. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to see is people using that home list as a tool to procrastinate the work stuff. Mm. Because what often happens with home stuff is those tasks feel really good to get done. Because they have, like I said, those definitive beginning and ends. So like doing the dishes, you see a sink full of dishes, as much as you hate doing dishes, it feels really good to have it done. Now you have a clean sink, right? Like you feel accomplished. You see the physical result of that work. Mm-hmm. That's not as easy to feel and see when we're doing kind of work on the computer, mm-hmm. right? So just if you're going to combine the list, I would just suggest differentiating it in some way, shape, mm-hmm. or form, and giving yourself a realistic amount of chores that you can accomplish mm-hmm. that day, a realistic amount of things that you need to get done.
Yeah. And what a therapist told me once, that you shouldn't have to do like a deep clean or like a full clean every single day. Like you should really break it up. Like obviously like dishes and like wiping down the kitchen, yeah. that's kind of a nightly thing. Right. But
exactly.
like cleaning the bathrooms and changing the sheets, kind of give it a day. And I think when I was doing that, I felt a lot more organized. Whereas I kind of fell off and now I'm like, when do I need to change the bed sheet? What about the hobbies and like things that I enjoy? Because I have this feeling like I need to constantly be doing stuff for work or for home. Like I have a hard time letting it all go and then doing something that I enjoy, like sitting down with my family and playing a game or sitting or, you know, working on the memory box. What's your tip on that?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of different ways I want to answer this question. The first one is finding the time. I mean, this is going to sound like a really annoying answer, but just schedule it. Like you just have to make the time, right? Like you have to say, all right, it's 6 o'clock. You know, I'm working on my memory book, or the kids are asleep at 7:30. Now's the time I'm going to read my book, right? You just have to schedule it and be disciplined to hold that space for yourself. Right. Like that's one of the big rocks of life. Those are really important things. So that's kind of one piece of it. But the other piece to think about is that urge to keep moving, right? Like that tough time resting or settling down. That was so me for so long. And I still struggle with it because I think the first thing to think about is where is that coming from? Like it's kind of asking yourself, like, why am I struggling with this? Why do I feel like I have to be productive? For me, I know like I never saw my parents sit still as a kid. They still really have a hard time sitting still, especially my mom. So as a kid, I wasn't really allowed to sit still a whole lot. You know, we got the whole house cleaned on Saturdays and then I would go do like my homework or extra credit, right? Like we were very much like work first, play later kind of family. So that's how I am. But when you have your own home, the work never stops, right? There's always something you could be doing, especially when you have your own business. There's always something you could be doing. So identifying where that stems from, I think is a really important first step, because at least you understand like, oh, I don't have to be this way, right? This came from something that I can work on. The other thing to think about is creating like a wrap-up routine for your day. Like you mentioned, kind of like wiping down the sink, wiping down the kitchen, like anything that we can do to say wrap up our work day, or we're bringing closure to that activity, it makes it much easier to kind of transition into the next thing. So maybe you do want to hang out with your kids, and that's just the wrap up routine is going to be putting all of the dishes in the sink. You'll wash them later, but everything is going to go in the sink, and then it's going to be family time before bed. Mm-hmm. My last suggestion is decide what you actually want to do to relax. If you've been stalling on those memory boxes, maybe the box isn't the best approach. Mm. Maybe you would rather write it out as a story. Maybe you would rather create a folder of all of their photos. Maybe you want to do it as a scrapbook and you need more stickers and things to make it really engaging and fun for you. Deciding what actually feels good to relax is actually like harder than it sounds. Like my husband could just veg out on the couch, play video games, watch like dumb cartoons for hours and be like so happy. Mm-hmm. Watching TV is actually not super relaxing to me.
Same.
I don't really care to. Yeah, I don't. That's not what I enjoy. I would much rather read or go lay out at the beach. Like those are things that are actually relaxing and decompressing to me. Going for a really long walk. So figure out, you don't have to make a decision. You just have to experiment with what actually feels relaxing and rejuvenating and good for you, mm-hmm. because you're going to be more incentivized to do it. Like if your reward is going to watch TV and you don't really care about watch TV, yeah, I'm probably going to go putter around the house and find other things to clean. But if I have a really good book waiting for me, I'm much more likely to go take advantage of the time and do that.
I find myself often wasting my time on my phone.
Yeah.
I feel like because everything feels so daunting. Like I would love to go sit and read a book, but I also feel like it's overwhelming to just read a book and not be doing something else. And I think some of that is like my ADHD, and I don't know if you have any tips for that, but I feel like I need to be doing more than one thing at a time.
Do you have the Kindle app on your phone?
No, I can't do that. It has to be either an audiobook or a hard book. But with audiobooks, I do a lot better because I listen to those when I'm doing a task, and I actually get way more done. It has to be a mindless task, though. I can't like be answering emails.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it has to be
like, walking. I love like watching dishes, laundry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
You kind of touched on this a little bit. You said block some time out for the tasks. Can you talk a little bit about time blocking and how we can? What's the easiest way to implement that?
Yeah, so time blocking is a great method of productivity and time management. It's kind of like a quintessential tool that we can use, but I think it's often misunderstood or misused. I see some people who are time blocking like every 30 minutes and their calendar is kind of full of all of the tasks that they need to do. And again, if that works for you, productivity is personal, go for it, right? But I think when we're getting started, it's much more impactful if we're just being really intentional about how we're laying out our day based on our natural tendencies, based on our energy, based on the things that we like to do and want to do. So what I mean by that is think about if you're a morning person or an evening person or an afternoon person. So I'll use myself as an example. I am not a great morning person. That is not when I am the most focused. That's not when I can some people wake up and they could write a whole book, right? Some people wake up and they could run 10 miles. Not for me.
No.
So I love to structure my day where most of my meetings and stuff are in the morning. I'm an extroverted. I get my meetings done. I get energized by the people that I'm talking to. I have some lunch and then I can have my afternoons to really focus on the work that I want to do. And that's a simple time blocking structure, right? Meetings in the mornings, work in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. It could be that simple. If you want to get a little more nuanced with it, you can think about, okay, I'm going to have, on days I have meetings, I'm going to do these meetings. And then in the afternoon for 2 hours, I'm going to work on content. And for another hour, I'm going to do all my admin work.
Mm-hmm.
It's loose, but it gives you that structure. They act as guardrails through your day so that if you are distracted, if something does come up, you know, all right, this is my content time. I'm going to come back to mapping that out and creating that content in that time.
I did see on your social media that, and I don't know what you called it, but that we shouldn't be going from like one type of task to another, like I shouldn't be in the middle of content. And then I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to answer that email and then go to email. So what do you recommend when that comes up? I'm like in the middle of being in my creative brain, but then I'm like, oh, I gotta do this. And then what do you recommend? Where do I write it down? What do I do with that thought?
Yes. Write down that thought. So we should always, it's so hard to close out your emails and notifications, right? Like, but as much as we can close out notifications, and turn off, you know, close out your email, things like that. I personally hate do not disturb on your phone, especially like now that my kid's in daycare part-time and like my husband's a first responder, like putting my phone on do not disturb, like just makes my body itch. But I can use focus mode, which only allows certain things to come through. And then definitely just close out your email. So step one is removing as many of those distractions as possible. And the step two is when you have the thought, just write it down. Keep a note, like a list handy next to you I always have like a scrap of paper with those thoughts and things of like, oh crap, I have to call the doctor. Oh crap, I have to, you know, send that email, right? And then just kind of jot it down and find the appropriate spot in your day to take care of that.
It's hard for me to not do it right when I think of it. So yeah. It's definitely going to be one of those like practice skill building things.
Yeah. I mean, it's akin to meditating, and I'm a terrible meditator. We want to take care of those things immediately. And there is
instant gratification.
Yeah. It's instant gratification. And there's some merit to like, you know, there's like the 2-minute rule, right? If something's going to take you less than 2 minutes, just take care of it right away. But that doesn't serve us if we're in a focused time block.
Yeah, that's true. If you could give one piece of advice to someone that feels like they're just super bad at juggling things or procrastinating, what's one thing that you want to tell them?
Oof, one thing, that's tough. I think I'll start with a lot of grace, right? Our productivity is not going to look the same every single day. It depends on how you slept the night before, how your kids slept the night before, where you are in your cycle, what type of work we have to do, right? Our productivity and energy levels are going to look really different every day. So plan for that day, right? We have like the best case scenario, and then we have the like, you know, middle ground. And then we have like the, I slept like crap, I feel like crap. These are the three things I have to get done. And then I'm going to go take a nap. Right. And if we can think about our days like that, you'll find you'll actually get a lot more done than trying to power through.
I love that advice. Yeah. I think a lot of moms need to hear that, you know, give yourself grace and every day is different. Like you might, even in like parenting, right? You like, you might be a really good mom today, but tomorrow you might be a shitty mom. But you're, you know, it's okay. Every day is different.
Every day is different.
Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for all this information. I took some notes actually. So I'm going to try that brain dump activity and 5 to 7 to-dos. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but we'll figure it out.
You might get more done. I always say like, you might get more done, but more than that, it's going to feel like overwhelming. And they should be in the order that you're going to do them.
Yes.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, where can we find you? Tell us.
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at Chelsea N Coaching. That's Chelsea with a Y. Or my website's chelseaneumeyer.com. And that's how you can find all the different ways to work with me.
Perfect.
Oh, and I have a podcast. I always forget. it's called From Overwhelmed to Under Control.
I love that. I will tag everything below. And thank you so much, Chelsea.
Thank you.
As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a review, subscribe to the podcast, and come back next week. I cannot wait to talk to you then.